The first recorded use of the expression "let the cat out of the bag" dates to 1760 in a book review in the London Magazine. We could have wished the author had not let the cat out of the bag. No one knows when, how, or where that expression originated. Most reject either the explanation of selling a cat in a bag when the buyer thinks it's a pig, or the cat of nine tails used to whip sailors. No one can explain where letting the cat out of the bag came from, but everybody knows what it means. So you all know what I mean when I say on Palm Sunday, the king is out of the bag. Look at the royal entrance Jesus made in Jerusalem today. He commands his apostles to acquire transportation. He claims lordship over a donkey and her colt as a sovereign who owns everything in his kingdom. See him ride into Jerusalem as all around him walk beneath him. Nowhere else are we told Jesus rode anywhere. He rides on a donkey even as Solomon was placed on David's donkey to show that he was the legitimate heir to David's throne. And do you hear what the crowds are saying? They're calling him Son of David. They're crying out Hosanna, which means save us now. They're calling him the prophet predicted to succeed Moses. And Jesus doesn't shush anyone. He doesn't forbid them from telling others. He accepts all their kingly adulation. The king's out of the bag now. They name it, and Jesus claims it. And he acts the part too. He makes not only a royal entrance, but takes royal actions. Notice how he calls the temple my house. Whoa! He's claiming not only to be an earthly king, but the King of Kings. And he's acting the part. See how he cleanses his house? He overturns the tables of the money changers and the benches of the dove sellers, driving them out of his house. And get this, no one stops him. No one even tries. The temple had its own police force. They have to be there. But no one dares intervene with or interfere with this king. Then Jesus holds court in his temple. The blind and the lame, they come to him in the temple, and he answers their prayers for healing right there and then in his house of prayer. The king's definitely out of the bag today on Palm Sunday. The royal entrance and Jesus' royal actions prove it. And his royal entrance and his royal actions make for one royal mess. When the boys were small and we were playing poker, and one of them would hold his cards below the table, an older one would say, "That'll get you shot in a bar, you know." It became a running joke, so that nowadays, just about anything that happens while we're playing poker that can get you shot in a bar. Well, what Jesus does today can get you crucified. The Romans did not tolerate self-proclaimed kings. They had to recognize you as a king. The Sadducees, who ran the temple operations, they didn't like being called thieves. The Pharisees thought the only way they would ever get out from under Roman rule was if the Jews would live more righteous lives like they did, so God would be moved to deliver them. Luke tells you that the ones who wanted Jesus to rebuke the crowds for proclaiming him King, Christ, Lord, and Savior were the Pharisees. Yes, Jesus, this is going to get you crucified. So what gives? Why is there no longer the so-called messianic secret? Remember how people Jesus healed and the relatives of the healed were told, "Don't tell anyone"? Remember how the demons who knew he was the Son of the Most High God were commanded to be silent? None of that here today. And not only is there no attempt to quiet the shouts of Hosanna, Son of David, but they are encouraged. Jesus does exactly what the Old Testament had predicted their rightful king would do. He is coming to them gentle and riding on a donkey. There's like a bright yellow arrow pointing down from heaven saying, your king is here. If nobody else got that message, Pilate does. On Friday, he's going to have a sign made, the king of the Jews. Now this wasn't a whim of his. This was the official charge for which Jesus was crucified. Remember how the Jewish church leaders demanded Pilate change that sign? Do not write the king of the Jews, but write this man claimed to be king of the Jews. But Pilate would have none of that. Not because he believed Jesus was really the God-appointed rightful heir to the throne, but because that was the only reason he was being crucified by the Jewish leaders. Because he was the king of the Jews. Our text is from Matthew. And where does this gospel start? It starts with the Magi arriving in the same city, Jerusalem, and saying, we have come to worship the one born king of the Jews. That almost got Jesus killed then and there. But then the king was put in the bag and whisked away safely to Egypt. Now, after 30 years in the bag, only showing who he was to select people at certain times, King Jesus bursts out in a big way. Why? Because we need to know he is the rightful king, son of David, and son of God, who comes in the name of Jehovah to save us. So, what's the catch? Why doesn't Jesus stay in Jerusalem? He has the right and he has the power to oust Pilate out of the governor's palace and the high priest out of the temple. Why does he leave the city and stay the night over in Bethany? Why does he basically abdicate the throne he has just claimed? Well, Jesus could have stayed in Jerusalem and he could have been king. But he had no right to rule over sinners. We had sold ourselves into slavery to another, to the devil himself. You know how that works. A man sells his soul to the devil, and the devil holds the paper on him and always collects at the most inconvenient time. The paper that the devil holds on us is God's own word, God's own promises, God's own laws. They say people who sin in thought, word, or deed, or even just a person born of sinful persons, belongs to the devil. Only holy people belong to God. All sinners have sold their souls to the devil. That's me. That's you. You see this at work in Job 1 and 2. The devil appears in heaven, waving his paper in front of God's nose, saying he can prove Job's a sinner no different than anyone else. The devil's in heaven because God's unfulfilled promise to punish sinners gives him a right to be there. You see that also in Zechariah 3. There the devil accuses the high priest himself of the most horrible sins, maybe even as bad as yours. And the devil has proof. There the high priest stands in filthy robes, mute, without excuse, without defense. Jesus is king, and inexplicably, he deigns to rule over sinners. It will take dying to get that done. But not like the Calvary with Jesus riding in to save the day by killing all the bad guys, but Jesus on Calvary, suffering, damning, and dying under the devil's thumb and at the hands of his henchmen. Jesus enters Jerusalem fit to rule in heaven itself. He has never done, spoke, or thought one wrong thing ever. The devil has tried tempting him. The devil has tried accusing him. The devil has tried tricking him. The devil has tried using family and friends against him, but never has Jesus sinned. The devil combed through Jesus' life and can find not one spot, not one wrinkle, not one stain. But no comb is needed to find our sins. We are all sin and unrighteousness itself. So to take away the paper that proves our souls are sold to the devil, Jesus dies as we sinners should. It says right there on the paper, in order for a sinner to go to heaven, All God's laws must be kept by that sinner. Well, Jesus did that in place of all sinners. The next line says, all the sins of all men have to be punished and sufficiently paid for. Jesus does that, hanging helplessly on a cross as the devil dances a jig in his face, thinking he has lost. But it's the other way around. Jesus has won, and so have you. But do you really know that? The king's out of the bag today, but not everybody knows that. There's a royal entrance, there are royal actions, and there's a royal mess, but the royal recognition is limited. Matthew highlights who will get what's going on by taking a passage from two different prophets and running them together. The Holy Spirit can do that because all the words are His words. From Isaiah 62:11, He takes the words, say to the daughter of Zion. And from Zechariah 9:9, He takes, see your king. Only a daughter of Zion can see this king. On Good Friday, you'll remember, the daughters, plural, of Jerusalem will see only a man about to be crucified who they should weep over. No king there, no God here, no Savior here. A daughter, singular, of Zion, not Jerusalem, which is the heavenly church, and not the earthly city. The daughter of Zion sees her king and God and Savior here. So, the question is, are you a daughter of Zion? You are if you've been baptized into his family. You are if your contract with the devil had on your soul has been torn up by Jesus' words of absolution. You are a daughter of Zion if you share in the flesh and blood of your brother Jesus, the very Son of God. Daughters of Zion see their king today in joy and in relief. They recognize that he is here to save them. The Holy Spirit tells them, your king has come to you, not to give them information of his physical arrival. No, the daughters of Zion, he comes to you in the sense of for your benefit. He comes to you in the sense of in your interest. Your king has not abandoned you to the cruel chains of sin, death, and the devil. He has not left you for dead, let alone damned. He has not left you at the mercy of the devil, the world, or your own accusing conscience. He has come for you. But in order to rescue you, he will have to get through sin, death, and the devil. And he does that by giving himself willingly over to them for your benefit, in your interest. Having difficulty with this royal recognition? Well, if God can get children and even infants to recognize their King and God in the lowly person of Jesus and so cry out to him, Hosanna, he can open your eyes and mouth to royalty too. So much so that not only will your eyes see and your mouth praise him in this text, but your eyes will see him on this altar in bread and wine, and your mouth will open not only to praise your king, but to eat his body and drink his blood. Where royal blood goes, royalty goes, and the king's all the way out of the bag into your life. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.